Okay, so good morning, happy Hanukkah. So I did have the chance to go over it with Michal yesterday, so I do have some of her insights, even though she's at home being a good mommy for today. So I'll just quickly summarize. We were at the beginning of the second parak on page Zion, and what he was trying to draw the distinction was between two different ways of perceiving things. And he gave the mashal, which he's going to refer back to, so I just want to make sure that it's clear. And you have page Zion on the left, probably the left-hand side of the copy. Yeah, where it starts Perek Beis. So he gave, we went to this part inside, but he gave the mashal. He said that, you know, normally if we see something on the table, so we can look at it, and through our vision, we perceive that there's something there. But somebody who, Rahman al-Utslan, is blind and can't see, so he will have to feel, and through the sense of touch, will be able to perceive what is what's happening. So you see that, again, there are different ways of coming to perceive different things. And we have things that we know in our minds, and then there are things that we experience. And the question was, is the knowledge that there is a Borei Olam, the knowledge that there's a Creator, what does that start with? Does that start with knowledge, or does that start with some sort of perception? So now, if you turn the page, on page Yud Ches, so that's where he continues, on the, I guess, the second paragraph, the one-line one. U'mehechan yodeo ha'adam she'yesh borei olam. You have it? Yeah, right there in the middle there. Good. How does a person know that there is a creator of the world? So he says, ba'ofen klali, in a general sense, yediyazu b'nuyah shnei yesodos p'yutim. It's usually based on two fundamental ideas. Reishis, the first one is ayde kabbalah ma'avoseinu. We were taught it. We were taught it by our parents, and our parents by their parents, and it goes all the way back to the beginning. Dor achad dor, generation after generation, ad mamad har Sinai, all the way back to har Sinai, and it was passed down. And we're part of that continuation. We're part of those links. Ve'od kodem lachein, and even before that, Avraham Avinu, Adam Harishon. So it doesn't even, if you want to go back past har Sinai, there is this knowledge that there is a God. Kolomar anachnu maminim b'nei maminim. We are a people who believe, and we believe because, again, it's passed on to us. Like the Ramban writes, Moshe kibal Torah miSinai, when we manage Tashlam Masorah Sayyudis. So everything started Moshe at Har Sinai, passed down to us, the started the chain that will continue and gives us all basic knowledge. Vishenis, but there's a second point as well. He says, Afilu Adam Shenolad Nolad Bamidbar Ve'eno Yodea Shehu Yehudi. Even if you have somebody who somehow was born in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, has no idea that he's Jewish, deserted, raised by the monkeys or whatever, you know, there's nobody else there, zero knowledge of anything, so the person would still have the responsibility, all of Linho Kimo Avram Avino, to be like Avraham, and lahagiel akarab shuta shedarvo nasa me'atzvon, to reach a very simple conclusion that things don't exist on their own. Sheish borei olam, and there was a creator. Ki seilo notzelavad. Nobody would think that this chair was created by itself. You see the chair and you realize, okay, somebody made this nice chair, the table. Why would we think that a person, which is more complicated than the most intricate, you know, computer, was not created by a creator? Obviously, it has to be that way. Shulchan lo yatzar zatzvo, table doesn't create itself. There has to be somebody who created it. And whether it's a person having to figure out on their own, again, the obvious question on what he's saying is, so what was the greatness of Avram Avinu? If this is something which we should all be able to figure out, what was the greatness of Avram? So it would seem to be that Avram's greatness was that he was going against the cultural tides. That, again, everybody else was... And again, even in the period of Avram, they thought there was a creator, they just ascribed the creator to the wrong thing. They thought it was the sun or the moon, which seemed like powerful. They all realized that the table and people came from somewhere, so they worshipped something. Avram was able to expand it to something that he couldn't see, which was amazing for that time. But either way, Shnei Achreichim Eilu Molidim Yediyah Sichus Achas Pshuta. But both of these things lead to one conclusion, Yesh Borei La'olam, that there is a creator of the world. Now the question is, Yediyah Zuhi Yediyah Sichus. So this is a piece of knowledge that we have. By the way, we're fortunate enough to have been given this by our parents, and that we know that there is God. Klomar Ein Zedoma LeMikresh Al Iver SheMaskel LaHavin SheYish Kan Chayfetz We didn't come to knowledge of God the same way that the blind person has to feel in order to know there's an object, but we were given it. We were given it by parents. We were given it by the way we were educated, and we don't have to feel it. It starts with knowledge. But now we have to ask ourselves a question. Once we've reached this conclude this understanding, we need to think. Is this the ideal? Is the ideal that it should be this piece of knowledge that we were given and we filed away in our brains? And that's the end when it comes to emuna. Now, since we know there's a God, and now we have to do what God said. So we do mitzvos, gemilos chasad, and we are nice to people. All the nice things that we should do. That's one possibility. Or no. Oshema yediya zusheish bori olam hiraka shorash. Haskolas hayediya. Maybe the knowledge that we have is just the beginning. It's not the end. It's the beginning of something much greater and much bigger. Umikan vo'elach tzricha hayediya lahamshich ulispashet l'chush hamishush. And now we have to figure out how does it become something which is experienced. And again, it's on the one hand, I think it's not so hard to believe that there is something more to our connection to God than just the knowledge. On the other hand, if it's not something that we felt, it's hard to anticipate where does this lead to? Where are we trying to get to? But again, that's what a large part of the Sefer here is about, is trying to develop this. But he says, we need to understand, well, what does it mean to feel God? It can't be like the blind person, right on the top of the next page. It seems difficult. How do we relate to Hashem by touching Him? Talking about touching God, it's out of the pale, right? We're ascribing physical characteristics to Hashem. Not allowed to do that. Shekein Nehmar, and we know it says, Ki lo yirani adam v'chai. Even when Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to perceive God, it says, you can't see Him and then and be alive. Es HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo roim lo shomim. So we don't see Him, we don't hear Him. Gam ha-Nevi'im lo mashash Yehu es HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Nevi'im can't feel God. So what does He want from us? If we're supposed to have more than just the knowledge, but we can't feel Him in the way that we would normally feel something, so what exactly are we supposed to do? So he says, so obviously, whatever the experience of, you know, quote-unquote, feeling Hashem is, it can't be about touching Him, because that makes no sense. Like we just said, it's to feel Him with our hearts. What does that mean? So that's what we have to get to. We have to somehow be able to tap into our hearts to a feeling of an experience of something larger than ourselves, of some sort of spirituality, of connection to Hashem. And that is Yesod HaMahus HaMitis Shel HaAmunah. That is the core point that we're trying to achieve. So he says, now we have to do is Nevaris HaYesod. If we explain the concept, Al Gabav Nivnes HaHemshech. Now we need to build upon that. How do we develop that? How do we tap into something which we know is there, but we have to figure out how do we relate to it. But Reishis Kol Yisod Atzmo Tzarich Yos Bar. We have to make sure the idea is clear. Al Eze Emunah Anachnu Medabrim. What type of faith in Hashem are we talking about? So now he expands it a little bit. He says, Hayidia Sichlis Yesh Emunah. And again, I think we mentioned in the past, this book was written for people who already believe. It's not to try to convince people to believe. There are, you know, other important books that do that for people who are, you know, struggling and need to get to that point. So, in terms of his audience, the fact that we have knowledge of belief in God, Kol Yehudi Odeya. So that's what a Jew knows. Kama hu choshev al kach. How much do we actively think about the fact that there is a God? That's already not so simple. Kan kvar yeshnu chiluk bein ha'anashim. Here there are people that are different. Some people are more naturally drawn towards thinking about God actively. And some people kind of just go through life the way they go through life. And they do the mitzvot, and when they're doing mitzvot, maybe then they think about God. When they're doing everything else. So it's sort of decompartmentalized, right? It's separated, and they bifurcate and they divide up the different realms of their lives, and they think about God when they need to, when they don't need to, they don't think about Him. So he says, Adam itivo, naturally, eino makdish zman l'machshava, afilo osi yediyah pshuta sheish be'olam. We're not naturally drawn to thinking more about God. So what's common between us, again, is that we have the knowledge. But how much we're going to be drawn to actively thinking about Hashem, that's going to be dependent on the person. And certainly, lachas kama kama ala musag hashkacha pratis, about his the way he intervenes in our lives. What do we think? That if somebody asks us, do you believe in God? Yeah, we do. Right? 8 plus 5 equals 13. That's in our brains. God is God. That's also there. So now he writes, what's the difference? There are two different perspectives. The first is etzem hayediyah she'adam yodea she'yesh bo'ar olam. The first is what we've been talking about till now, right? The knowledge that there is a creator of the world. The second one is very different. The second one is kamus hamachshava and echus hamachshava. What does that mean? It means the quality and the quantity of how much we think about it. How often do we think about that there is a creator of the world? And the quality. What does that mean, the quality of it? So how much do you think yesh borei olam shehu bara osi? So this was what I was talking about last night with Michal, who I think was planning on discussing this before she had to go home and be a good mommy. There's a very big difference. It doesn't sound like such a big difference, but if you think about it objectively, there's a very big difference between being able to say there is a creator of the world and there is a creator of the world who created me. When you personalize our relationship with Hashem, it's a very different experience. And if we can relate to Hashem as being involved in our lives and not being, you know, the distant God, but being the active God who is involved in our lives on a daily basis, it becomes a very, very different relationship. It's a completely different way of thinking about Him. To think that God cares about me, He knows about me, He loves me, wants me to do His mitzvahs, is a very different perspective. So what Michal introduced in our house a while ago, and again, like most things that start off well, it needs a little bit of chizuk every so often, so we recommitted ourselves to work on this, was what she would do was encourage everybody throughout the week and then to share at the Shabbos table a Hashkacha Pratis story. A story. Now, you're going to say, do you really have a Hashkacha Pratis story every week? So, you don't have a Rabbi Pesach Kron Hashkacha Pratis story every week. I mean, some people maybe do. I don't have any of those ever. But, if you take the time to think about how Hashem orchestrates things in our lives, and you're actively looking for it, I'd be very surprised if you don't find one every day. It's almost impossible not to find one over the course of the week. And it changes the way you think. Because if you're looking for it, then you're going to find it more. And whether it's going to be the, you know, I got delayed and couldn't get out of the house this morning, or, I don't know, the oven broke, whatever the details are that seem to go wrong in our lives, sometimes if we sort of look back at the end of the day and think, well, you know what, because I was late for this, and again, it doesn't. It's not always going to be, you know, somebody stayed late for Daf Yomi and missed a train and wasn't in the Twin Towers on 9/11. And those stories are unbelievable. And you know, and sometimes it's from the bigger story, like the Ramban writes about miracles, from the open miracles when God shows us obvious ones. He's just reminding us that breathing in the morning and waking up is also a miracle. It's just one that we become used to. So if we take a perspective of looking for Hashem in our lives over the course of the day and do it actively, you'll find it even more than you thought it was going to be there. And it comes with time. Again, we've seen it at home, you know, where especially when we were doing this more actively, when the kids would say, oh, you know what Hashem did for me today? You know, that's when you can have, certainly as a child, but certainly as an adult also, just the knowledge to think that, you know, God interacted with me, again, not in a prophecy sense, but that, you know, Hashem is concerned. We believe that He is involved in the things that happen in our lives. Then it creates a different relationship. It's similar to what we were talking about last week. It's no longer knowing, you know, about Hashem, but it's knowing Him. And when we know Him, it changes everything. It changes everything that's going on. It gives at the times when we feel more alone, or more prone. He's going to talk about this, I think, a little bit later. You know, sometimes we're drawn towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're forced to. And you know, when the doctor comes out and says it's all in God's hands now, you know you're in trouble. But if you realized it was all in God's hands beforehand, you wouldn't have that perspective. Again, you'd still know what the doctor means when you say that, because it's a chisaron in them. It's not a chisaron. It's not something lacking in us. We had right before my younger brother got married, Adina was a year old. And she was, it was one of these, I guess, get back to being a good mom. You know, sometimes like a mother knows that there's something wrong, even though nobody, so she had some sort of stomach virus, and the doctor said it's a stomach virus, and she goes, no, we're taking her to the hospital, there's something wrong. So it ended up being that after a while they said it wasn't a stomach virus, and they had to do, they did tests, and there was a lot of hashgacha pratisness also. They thought she had, they said she was just very constipated. And then the radiologist, late at night, he told us afterwards, late at night, he goes, I decided to just look at the films again. I looked at it again, because they called us back in the morning to come down for the radiologist again. And they were like, what? We did this yesterday. And they go, no, the radiologist said he looked at the film again, and he's not sure that he was right. And then he tells us there's a blockage. So, like, I'm supposed to be flying to Ottawa for the wedding. My parents are already there. We're in the hospital where my father's practicing, so he's calling, you know. So they tell us they don't know what it is, but they're going to have to do surgery, and they'll have to figure out. This is Erev Shabbos, and so the surgeon comes in, and he's brand new. They get this top-notch surgeon who just came to Schneider's in LIJ. They took him from, I don't know, NYU, Mount Sinai, somewhere. And this guy comes in, and he says to me, and like he has like, you know, the way when you feel like a confident surgeon comes in and they have this confidence about them. And he comes in and he's like, everything's going to be fine. I'm like, oh, great, thank you so much. You know why everything's going to be fine? He goes, I'm the best darn shaliach around. Okay. And I was like, where'd that come from? So he clearly grew up from at some point, and he knew what to say. So, listen, Baruch Hashem, it ended up being something very, very minor, and it all is fine. But, you know, that perspective of, yeah, and the doctor is the shliach, and everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is something what, if there's a way to harness that and develop it at the times when we're not forced to, but the times that we want to, then it changes our interactions in so many different areas. And that's what he's, I think, saying here. And he gives you one example, but there's a big difference between saying, I know Yesh Borei Olam, and I know Yesh Borei Olam Shebara Osi. I know there's a God who created me. I know that there's a God who, you know, gave me all that I have. You know, you look around sometimes in the house, you're just like, wow, look at all the bracha that I have. And again, it's easy to find the things that are missing. But say, look what Hashem has given me. And to be able to personalize that is a step in developing that relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a deeper way. It's not going to be there yet. Again, it's a process. But it's a step along the way of personalizing our relationship with Hashem. So he writes, so if you do this, v'ikar havodai, so what's the main purpose? Shehayediyah sheyesh borei olam, that the knowledge that there's a creator of the world, lo tiyah yediyah sichas b'vad, shouldn't only be up here in our brains, something that we can feel and something that we can sense with our hearts, not just something that we know exists in our minds, but something which is in our hearts. So he says, "Imkain b'milam k'tzaros." Again, he tends to summarize, but I think it's just for the purposes of making sure that it's clear. Hagdaras hadvarmi. This is what we're trying to do. Yesh yediyah shel seichel. There is knowledge which is in one's mind, in one's intellect. And that can come from the two ways. Our parents taught it to us, and if not, we were able to realize that nothing comes on its own. So why would we think people can come on their own? There has to be a creator. But that's still all in the mind. And then there is knowledge of the heart. Ukaloshan apostle, the pasuk says, "V'yadata hayom, you'll know. V'hashevosa elavavecha, and you'll return it to your hearts. And what do you need to know? Einod, that there's nobody other than the outside of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So makavana rachis first, v'yadata hayom, yedisichis, in one mind. Then achar mikein, v'hashevosa elavavecha, then it's in the hearts." And then he says, it doesn't say, Lomaduber cannot feel. It doesn't say you have to know in your heart about davening. Lomaduber cannot reach his Kodosh Shabbos. Not even the Kedusha of Shabbos. What do we need to know in our hearts is Ein Od. That there's nobody other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the lave, that the heart should feel it. So how do we take it to that next level? So he suggests as follows in the bold part. Havana Salev Mitzios Atzmis. What does it mean for the heart to understand? I'm going to try to get this point across as clearly as possible. It sounds, it's hard to get at first, but I think it makes a lot of sense. He says like this, "La'adam yesh chushim." We have senses, right? We have five senses that God has given us. L'dugman, he's going to take one of them, chusham ishesh, touching things, right? That's one way that we feel things. Adam emashesh bi'advarim, we touch things with our hands and we feel them. So he quotes the following halacha. It says, "L'gabe din bedika sasakin." So there is a halacha that every time before he shechts an animal, he has to check the knife. The way that he checks the knife is he runs his finger along the blade to feel for any nick. If there's any nick, then we're afraid as he's going to cut that there's going to be either a pull or a tug. It's not going to be a smooth cut. And any break in the shechita renders the shechita no good. Which is why, again, those are things that you can't tell. That's where trusting the shochet has to be come into play, because there's no way you could see if it was a smooth cut or if there had to be a pause for a second or a pull. So again, that's why we look for shochetim with a certain amount of Yirah Shamayim. We need it because you can check the lungs afterwards. You can check for certain things. You can check the meat, but you can't check the shechita. So he says, Mevuar b'divrei ha-poskim. The poskim are clear. She'argoshos yado shel ha-shochet bo'di sasakan lero she'in ba pegam tuya b'avchanta d'liba. Says that although it's the finger which is running along the blade, the poskim say that it depends on a person's understanding of the heart. What does that mean? He says, Klomar. If a shochet ma'aviris yado agabe asakin, if the shochet runs his finger along the blade, uba'oso shah daito machshavto in his tomb of dvar machirim, but he's not thinking about it. His mind is, on the stock market. He's not thinking about whatever it is. His mind's at home, whatever other tzaras, concerns he has. Afilu miya pigam hu lo yargish bo kokach. It's clear in the poskim that you're not going to feel it and be as sensitive to it if you're not paying attention. So again, I think we know that in a different context. We certainly know driving, right? Sometimes we end up somewhere, we have no idea how we got there. It might be where we wanted to go, might not be where we wanted to go. But you think back along the way to every turn, we don't necessarily pay attention. Or even, I was trying to figure out how to articulate it. Sometimes if you're like, let's say you need to reach for something like under a couch. So you can't, and you can't see, but you're doing it with your feeling. So I don't know, I think oftentimes you close your eyes sort of in order to pay attention. No, maybe just me. To zero in your focus on that, and so you're paying attention more to just you don't want to be distracted by other senses and other things when you're trying to feel for something. So it's just in Hebrew, right? When you say to pay attention to something, what do you say? Lasim lev. What does the heart have to do with paying attention? It's exactly what Chazal are telling us, that when you're not paying attention to something, our actual senses are duller. They're not feeling the same thing. So he says, what do you see from this? So he says, "Kedei lehargish b'pkam alav lios merukaz." In order to feel the nick in the blade, you have to be paying attention. Nasun l'nekuda achas b'vav, paying attention only to one thing. Kichol shemachshavta yosem merukezes machshavta. So the more you're paying attention to what you're doing, the more you're on task, the more you'll be sensitive to the minutia and how small the pagam might be. So he says, what does this talk? What does it mean that we're talking about a feeling of the heart? Says, what feelings of the heart do we know? He says, when we say we're talking about what the heart feels, what are we talking about? Ahava, sin, akas, emotions. That's what we normally associate with the heart feeling something. Love, hate, anger, our emotions, we usually connect with the heart. And those are the things that our hearts are sensitive to. And these are all these emotions, these are our emotions that make us react. We do things or don't do things because of our emotions. Right? Adam ha'oeh v'tadavar, if you love something, nimshach achrav, so you're drawn towards whatever that thing is. Olechilupin, yare, if you're afraid of something, you're walking down the street and there's somebody who is concerning to you, you move the other direction, right? You react. You're yare pad umisrachek mimenu. You move further away. Kagam adam sones adavar adavrim orbo slida. If you despise something, so when you see it, you feel it in your emotionally as well. Right? We respond to our emotions and they move us to what the next thing we're going to do are or is. So kol nekudos salol shel makirim, these types of emotions that we know, he nekudos shel tenudos halev techushos. These are emotions that cause us to do something or to not do something. Kan chazal medabur nekudos legam rishonah. That can't be what we're talking about when Chazal was saying that there's a feeling in the heart when it comes to checking the knife. This is something very different. Right, to know whether or not there's a nick in the blade, that's not an emotion. That doesn't come from our love for shechting animals or meat or whatever it is. It's not an emotion. That's not normally something that we associate with our hearts. Zoe avchanas hametzius. It's knowing the reality. What is there? Yesh pegam b'sakin, no, ain't pegam b'sakin. Is there a nick or is there not a nick? That's the only question I have in front of you. Hasakin chalak olo, is it smooth or is it not? Or is it not smooth? That's the only thing that we need to figure out. And yet Chazal teach us, and again, I think we understand what they're saying, that it depends on what the heart senses. So what does that teach us? So he says something, again, it's profound in the way that he says it. Again, it will come off as a little bit shocking, but I'm not sure how to say it differently than what he says. So he writes, "Hachush shenimtza bidei ha'adam hu lo chush al hayad atzman." So what that means is that the nerve endings in our fingers and what we use to touch in our fingers are not just in the whatever is going to be reacting to the sense of touch is not just in our fingers. Because if it was just in our fingers, then we should feel it the same whether or not we're paying attention or not. So it has to be that shorash achush b'lev, that there is the root of whatever the hands can feel is really found in our hearts. And that's why when we're paying attention, so then our hands feel things differently than if we're not paying attention. Umisham yeshne spashes shel achush hayadayim mechozer chalila. It's the hand is almost an extension of the ability of the heart to feel. The heart has the ability to feel certain things, but there's no way for that for the sense to get there. So it gets there. The tool that's used is our hands. The same thing in theory can be true with our eyes. It's just easier to. It's easier to understand that when it comes to something physical. With our eyes also, we see things all the time, but we don't pay attention. Right? We can drive, you know, past a store and not see it, you know, 100 times and not even realize that it's there, even though our eyes saw it because we had to be looking that way when we were driving. But if we weren't paying attention to it, then our we weren't open to it. But when we're looking for something, right, when you're looking for an address and you're driving up a block, you see every single thing on the block that you never noticed before because you're paying attention. So he said, well, that reflects that there is an ability in our hearts, again, whether you want to call it a heart, a brain, I don't care so much about the biology of it right now. But the point is that there's something more than just in the hand that's inside of us that feels things. Nimtza sha'adam margish balei velo b'yad. The sense of feeling is really in our hearts and not just in the hands. And the yad, hu rakedi lahaver sachushin lalev. The hand is the mechanism, is the tool that brings the feeling to our hearts where it can be interpreted. So now he says like this. So ma tiva shel avchana zu. So what's the nature of this type of perception, the perception of the heart? So he writes, that havchanos hapshuto shanu makir miskalos derech hayad. The simple senses are the ones that we know. So touch is an easy one. We know that our hands touch, and then if we're paying attention, we feel it. Kachasha adam esanosin. That's how we, something which is given, something which exists, so we feel it with our hands. But he says here is the secret. Kantmuna nekuda amuka shel havchana bechush al kadosh baruch hu. What's the secret of being able to feel God? The pasuk says, "Tzur levavi v'chalki elokim na'olam." Hakadosh Baruch givyachol na'olam b'mocham sheyisrael nigla b'libosam. Hashem tells us that He has, again, put Himself, obviously not in the physical sense, but He has put Himself in the heart of every person. And what that means is that we have the ability to sense Him as well, because if our heart is the center for being able to perceive things, then anything which is there, we can perceive as well. So if Hashem is there, puts that the ability to feel Him in our hearts, then we can feel Him. We're just going to need a different tool, because the tool of feeling or the eyes aren't going to be able to do it. Chush then, the next paragraph, the chush is HaKadosh Baruch Hu belev, to feel Hashem in our hearts, eino chush HaKosh Le'adayim, it's not connected to the hands. Zo chush Atzmi, it's almost like a sixth sense. It's a sense that has to be there, because Hashem says, I put it inside of you, but we have to figure out what's the mechanism, other than the five that we know, that's going to bring us to be able to feel it. That we should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu nimtza sham. So he makes, let's just try to get this one last point, and then I think we'll just make sure that we're clear on everything we did today. Yeshan havchano shein chitzonios la'adam. There are things that are external to the person. Again, he gave this mashal similarly before, but he's trying to get a different point across. You want to know, is there a chair here? Is there a table here? So how do you do it? You perceive through your eyes. You look. Or you can feel it if your eyes are closed. Or mishush. If you ask a person, do you have a foot or not? So the person says, yeah, I have legs. If you ask the person, how do you know that you have legs? So he says, if somebody says, Ra'isi, I saw it, or Abba Shali Siperli, my father once told me that I have a leg, says, Rachmana Solav. So that's terrible. What does that mean? That means the person's legs aren't working. Because if the only way you could perceive your leg is something external to the body, that you saw that there's a leg, or somebody told you you have a leg, then you're not one with your leg. You're not feeling it. So he says, that it means that the leg has been disabled. Who ain't a chosh, but doesn't feel it. And therefore, you need something outside. So somebody has to tell you. On the next page, if a healthy person says, I have a leg, margish es hametzius. It's because I feel it. I know that I have a leg because I feel that it's there. Regel v'yad zumetzius atzmi shel adam, and that's what he suggests is here as well. So the heart can sense things in two ways. We use our five senses to sense things that are external to us. What we've learned now is that there's this other sense that the heart has of being able to sense things in our heart, and specifically the presence of Hashem with us, that has to somehow be the same. Somehow we have to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu as being a part of us, not because I have to look at Him, which I can't, but because the same way my legs are part of me, so my relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is part of me. That's why Hashem says, Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, I put myself into your hearts so that you have the ability to be able to sense it. So in the next paragraph, it says, Kol Zman Sh'Adam Lo Margish HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as we're not feeling Hashem, that's like a person, domu adam sheinu margesh es yado. That's like Rachman Atzlan, a person who doesn't feel his hand. Because I'm not sensitive to it yet. Zo eivar sheinu chai, it's like something that's not alive. Adam sheinu margesh es borei ha'olam. If you don't feel Hashem, bechreach shu ha'borei esporach minu tukim. That means there's distance. And then the goal is to get rid of the distance, and to bring us as close together. And right, v'adai es ha'derech la'agia l'kach nitzarech levar baruka. It requires explanation how to do that. It's not a reason to give up. The point is to be sensitive to it. Rashi's call, Alinu Lahavin is Hayasoch Aladvar Mabanoas. What are we trying to build? Is that we're trying to do that. We're trying that the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu together with us should be no different than the way our bodies work. And that the part things that are part of us, we're able to feel in a different way than using our five senses. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, you have the ability to feel me also. We just have to be able to get there. So I think, again, what he's trying to get across to us is to personalize, I think, the first step in trying to feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence more acutely, and that it's not just part of our lives, is to try and do whatever we can to bring it in. I think, again, for those who want to take the challenge, that the idea of trying to find Hashgacha Pratis, to share stories, again, not the... If you have the Pesach Kohen ones, so share them with me, because I'm always looking for good Drasha material. I once told him, I had a meal there by Kohen, I told him, I said, you must get so many stories, right? He says, people send me hundreds of stories. I said, can you do me a favor and send me your rejects? I won't take anything out of your book. I'm more than happy to use the rejects. I haven't heard back from him. But so again, occasionally we'll have those, and it will be clear, and we should take a lot of chizuk from those cases. And then, even though the cynics are out there that question all those things, you know, again, are they all true? I don't know that they're all true. But they're not all true because they can't be true. Right? If we think that they're not true because they can't be true, then we're lacking. If we're not true because people have a tendency to exaggerate, so that might be true. Right? People do have a tendency to exaggerate, especially when it's something which happens to them. But if the reason that we think that stories like that can't be true is because we think they can't be true, so that requires a little work on ourselves. But I think if we look and try to find in our daily lives, that again, or at least over the course of the week, it's a good Shabbos table activity. A Hashgacha Prat is something, and if you think back, you will find, and maybe it's things that are small, the way Hashem interacts with us, I think that's a very positive step in bringing up Baruch Baruch from just being that there is a God out there, to being a God who cares about me, who has a relationship with me, and then we can work on trying to develop that relationship even further.